O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts that we think be acceptable to you. Amen. You may be seated. The text is in 1 Peter 5. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Amen. This is Ascension, and it is the event that happened 40 days after Jesus' resurrection from death and the grave. And then he gathered all of his disciples, and he gave to them the Great Commission. Go preach the gospel in all of the world and baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They were to be his witnesses. I can just imagine what that must have been like, to be one of Jesus' disciples and to see him rise up into the sky. It must have been a powerful and emotional moment in their lives. But for Jesus to ascend into heaven, he first of all had to be humble. It says that he emptied himself of his divine being so that he might take our sins upon himself. And then he died on a cross. He really died paying the penalty that we deserve. And then the steps of exaltation took place. He was raised from death to life, and 40 days later, he ascended into heaven, promising that he's going to prepare a place for you and me, so that where he is, we will be also. Just as I have described here, that good things follow Jesus' death, so it is also true for us that when we humble ourselves, there will be good things that follow. Humility is a human quality that is very endearing. In Romans 12, the Apostle Paul writes, "Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought." Paul is not saying here that we shouldn't love ourselves. After all, another verse of Scripture says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so in order for us to truly serve others, we must love our own bodies and our lives. C.S. Lewis explained humility well, in my opinion. He said, it is not that we think less of ourselves, but that we think of ourselves less. It is more pleasurable to be in the company of someone who doesn't only talk about himself. It is good to be around people who don't see themselves as being the center of the world, who do not think that they are always right or that they know everything about everything. The sign of a truly great person is his or her humility. A person who does good things, who is successful, and is humble, recognizes that the good that he has accomplished is not due to him alone. A humble person recognizes that God is his creator, that God has given him life, that God has given her talents, that God has placed opportunities in her lap or his lap, and that God has led people into their lives that are going to be good for them. Being humble is to have the mind of Christ, to serve rather than to be served. And if you watched the coronation of King Charles, you listened to him in that ceremony when he said these very words as he contemplated his purpose as king. He said, "I have come, or I serve, rather than be served." Roger Staubach was a star quarterback at the Naval Academy back in the early 60s. The Navy football team won a lot of games, believe it or not, at that time. He won the Heisman Trophy. And then he went off to Vietnam to serve in the Navy. Following that tour of duty, he joined the Dallas Cowboys. He was their quarterback. But it must be said that Tom Landry, that dapper coach who always walked the sidelines in a suit and a hat, Landry called the plays, not Staubach. And so Roger had to do some soul searching. And he thought to himself, will I let my pride overtake me and not listen to Coach Landry and be the star? Or will I swallow my pride and listen and obey Coach Landry? He said he learned obedience when he was a Dallas Cowboy. And when he chose to obey, there was fulfillment and harmony and many victories that followed. The Dallas Cowboys won 2 Super Bowls. Roger Staubach was most valuable player in one of those. And so we learn from this illustration that it is important for us to listen and to obey God's word rather than our own selfish desires. And good things will follow from having such an attitude. In Exodus chapter 6, God comes to Moses and he says, "Tell the people that I want to bring them up out of Egypt and into the promised land." And then he went to Moses and said, "And I want you to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to free my people, the Israelites." This is what Moses replied to God. "The people didn't listen to me, so why would Pharaoh listen to me, as I have faltering lips?" Moses was a humble man. He recognized his own shortcomings. He did not pretend to be someone that he is not. And yet God chose him. God told Moses, "You're going to be my God to Pharaoh. You're going to be God to Pharaoh. And Aaron, your brother, is going to be prophet. I'm going to lay my hand of judgment upon Egypt. I'm going to lay my hand of blessing upon you. And I'm going to free the people of Israel." Moses and Aaron obeyed God's command. The people were free. The Israelites followed Moses, but there was a time when Moses was beginning to be overwhelmed, and it was his father-in-law who went to him and said, "You ought to delegate some of your authority so that you don't get worn out." And Moses listened to that advice. And even more so, he became a powerful and effective leader. God used him to do mighty things for the people of God. Yet Moses was not a bragger. He always looked to God for strength and wisdom. Another more modern example is that of George Washington Carver. George Washington Carver was an educator and a scientist. And later in life, as he reflected upon his career, he spoke about it as if it were a conversation that he had with God. And he said, God, I want to be able to discover the answer to the mysteries of the universe. And God answered him by saying, George, that's something that is only up to me, God. And so George Washington Carver said, well then, God, will you let me understand the peanut? And God said, yes, George, that's more your size. And so there was humility in that great man who has now long since died. On his tombstone is written these words, he could have added fortune to fame, but caring for neither, he found happiness and honor in being helpful to the world. Now, you can't just force humility into yourself. Tomorrow morning, you can't wake up from your sleep and say, today I'm going to be humble. That is something that only comes from prayer to God, asking for His Holy Spirit to give you humility, to give you the mind of Christ, to give you the heart that is gracious and kind. Our obedience is an act of trust that God will reward humility. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will, but thy will be done. And in his humility, he went to the cross. He made himself nothing, crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But then in his exaltation, his resurrection and ascension, God the Father gave him everything, even the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth. We live in a very contentious world. Isn't it sad that there are so many shootings that have taken the lives and have injured others throughout our country over this past half year? What is going on? It seems that there are too many people that think this way, that everyone else is wrong and I am right. And I'm going to get revenge by taking the lives of others, even the innocent. I think what all of this does is that it should make us think and be more objective about ourselves. We are creatures of God. He has given us life. And he offers to us forgiveness for all of the shortcomings that we have, for all of the ways that we might fail. And he puts into our lives people who care for us and who want to encourage us and put us on a more righteous direction. I urge us all to ask for the mind of Christ and to walk humbly each day that we are privileged to live. Amen.